Let's open our Bibles to Job chapter 4 today. The book of Job is a very long wisdom book, and there's a lot of talk in it, And a lot of it is so poetic and so expansive that sometimes we feel bogged down in the moment as we work our way through it. And I want to encourage you to just hang in there. Even though we're going to hear a lot of stuff repeated over and over again, understand that repetition is what helps us retain knowledge. So the more we hear something, the more likely we're going to be to remember that truth. And there's a lot of truth in the book of Job. Now, unfortunately, there's also a lot of bad teaching from the three friends of Job. And we are about to hear from the first of them today. And every time one of them opens their mouth, I want you to be particularly critical of anything they say. Meaning, evaluate it against the inspired word of God elsewhere. Because we don't want to get sucked into their false philosophy. Because here's the problem that all of these guys have. They are convicted that bad things only happen to bad people. And I think they may also believe the other side of that coin, that good things only happen to good people. And so the application of that sort of philosophy is, since bad things are happening to Job, he must be bad. And he needs to repent. He needs to acknowledge he's done something sinful and abandon that so that God can get back to blessing him. And because of that, Job's friends are not really helping him out a lot. And they were good the first 7 days they were with him, because they kept their mouths shut and just felt his pain and were a good, loving presence with him. And I recommend that highly whenever you have to go into a situation where people are having tough times happen. Unless you know exactly what needs to be said scripturally, the less you say, the better. Simply saying, "I'm sorry," or "I hurt for you," or whatever, something along that line is okay, but less words, the better. So we know that in chapter number 3, Job, after 7 days with his friends sitting there, just can't stand it anymore. He's in pain of his soul, he's in pain of his body, and he gives this long soliloquy, I guess we'd call it, of, "I wish I were dead. I wish this would all end." He even says at one point, "I wished I'd never been conceived to have to go through all of this." And he finishes by basically saying, "I knew that something horrible like this might happen, and now here it is, and I want it over with. I can't rest." And that's when Eliphaz the Temanite, who is some sort of descendant of Abraham, it's either through Ishmael or through Esau, because there's a Teman descendant of Abraham in both of those family trees that we find in the book of Genesis. So Eliphaz the Temanite, some descendant of Abraham, possibly a cousin of Job, because of maybe Job being a descendant of Abraham as well, he decides that he has to give some good philosophical advice to Job. Chapter 4, verse number 1. "Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, 'If one ventures a word with you, will you be impatient? Yet who can keep from speaking? Behold, you have instructed many. You have strengthened the weak hands. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have made firm the feeble knees.'" So basically, "Job, Can I give you my take on stuff? Will you quit being so emotional and just listen to me? You've done plenty of talking in your past to people that were having tough times. Now, you're the one in the midst of problems. Let me tell you what's what. Verse 5, but now it has come to you, and you are impatient. It touches you, and you are dismayed, meaning bad times have come into your life, and now you don't want to deal with it. Verse 6, is not your fear of God your confidence, and the integrity of your ways your hope? Remember, who that was innocent ever perished? Or where were the upright cut off? So this is the beginning of his thesis that bad things only happen to bad people. So apparently, Job, you must be bad. Let's talk about that. Verse number 8, he continues, as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. By the breath of God they perish, and by the blast of his anger they are consumed. Now that's kind of rude right there. In verse number 9, he uses words that bring into your head the sense of wind and fire. And you may remember, fire burned up some of Job's animals and some of his workers, and wind came along and knocked down the house where his boys and his girls and all of their attendants were at and killed them all. So this guy sounds almost as if he's intimating, God killed your kids and your animals, just like he's done similar things to bad people in the past. Verse 10, the roar of the lion, the voice of the fierce lion, the teeth of the young lion are broken. The strong lion perishes for lack of prey, and the cubs of the lioness are scattered. Meaning that when bad things happen to the animals, that's because they're bad too. When they go hungry and can't hunt, it's because God wants it that way. See, these guys are fatalists. They believe in the absolute sovereignty of God. They would have been good Calvinists, by the way. And those of you that have been with me for a while, you know I'm not a Calvinist. I believe that God is sovereign, but in his sovereignty, he allows our free will and will not intervene except in certain cases. And so I don't look at everything happening in the world as God is doing that. God permits it, yes, but God is not actively doing it. But these guys do seem to believe everything is God. Every action is because God is doing it. And so, once again, he's effectively accusing Job of being a bad actor, and that he's whining because God finally caught up with him. Verse 12. Now a word was brought to me stealthily. My ear received the whisper of it. Amid thoughts from visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on men, dread came upon me, and trembling, which made my bones shake. Now, this guy is now saying, I had an experience once. I was sleeping at night, and suddenly I had this supernatural experience that I learned something from Job that I want to tell you about. Now, I believe it was an occultic thing that was happening where this guy was being given bad information by a bad spirit. But let's see what it says. Verse 15, a spirit glided past my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. So you can almost match this up with what people have said in other times about how they had this spiritual experience and the hairs on their arms, you know, in the back of their neck all prinkled, all stood up, and they got that goosebumps and stuff because the spirit had entered the room. It stood still. That is, the spirit stood still, but I could not discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes. There was a silence, and then I heard a voice. So he says, I saw this specter. It wasn't a physical form. It was a spiritual form. It was a phantom. And then the phantom spoke, and it told me something important. Listen to what he was told by this, I believe, false spirit. Can mortal man be in the right before God? Can a man be pure before his Maker? Even in his servants he puts no trust, and his angels he charges with error. How much more those who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundations are in the dust, who are crushed like the moth. Between morning and evening they are beaten to pieces. They perish forever without anyone regarding it. So this spirit basically told Eliphaz, God is tough even on his angels when they disobey him. You know he's tough on people. You know he's mean to them when they're not doing what he wants. And he rips them to shreds. He beats them up. That's what he's suggesting here, is that this spirit told him that God does mean things to bad people. And the intimation is, God's doing mean things to you, Job, because you're bad. Still more on what this spirit said, supposedly. Is not their tent cord plucked up from within them? Do they not die, and that without wisdom? So the spirit was basically saying bad things happen because God does them to bad people. And so Eliphaz takes a hold of that and accuses Job of needing God to beat him up, to make him come clean on what's wrong in his life. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Call now. Is there anyone who will answer you? To which of the holy ones will you turn? See, are you going to call upon the good angels out there to come and save you from God? Verse 2. Surely vexation kills the fool, and jealousy slays the simple. I've seen the fool taking root, but suddenly I cursed his dwelling. So Eliphaz says, yeah, I've seen bad people look like they were going to get ahead for a while, but then I put the curse of God on them. His children are far from safety. They are crushed in the gate, and there's no one to deliver them. The hungry eat his harvest, and he takes it even out of the thorns, and the thirsty pant after his wealth. So he starts losing stuff. He loses it to people that want it, and he loses it even to nature itself because, you know, the crops that he's trying to grow get infested with thorns, or maybe even have a famine sort of thing. Verse number 6, for affliction does not come out from the dust, nor does trouble sprout from the ground. So it doesn't come out of nowhere, Job, that bad things happen. There's a reason for them. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. As for me, I would seek God, and to God would I commit my cause. So if I were you, I'd be talking to God about this. Who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number? He gives rain on the earth. He sends waters on the fields. See, in a lot of the stuff that Eliphaz says here, he is speaking truth. But he's weaving into it some false beliefs about God. Specifically, folks, that God does all the bad stuff in the world to punish bad people. And therefore, if something bad happens to you, it must of necessity be because you're bad. And that is not the case. Let's talk about the reality. We live in a fallen, cursed world. What Adam and Eve did started a process by which our world is falling apart at the seams. the weeds that invade your garden, the bugs that bite and chew, the diseases that take hold and get passed from person to person, the accidents that occur, all of those things are part of the randomness that is the fallen world. And sometimes bad things do happen to good people, just like bad things sometimes happen to bad people, just because. And vice versa. Sometimes good things happen to good people. You may remember Jesus said that God causes his sun, that is the S-U-N sun, the sun in the sky, to rise both on the good and bad, and he sends rain upon the fields of both. So this world we all live in, good and bad, and good and bad happens to all of us. But that's not the thesis of Eliphaz here. He keeps harping on this idea, God does everything. So, verse 10, he gives rain on the earth, sends waters on the fields. He sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. He frustrates the devices of the crafty so that their hands achieve no success. He catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the schemes of the wily are brought to a quick end. Again, a lot of what he is saying is accurate, but he's got just enough bad stuff in there to make him dangerous. He catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the schemes of the wily are brought to a quick end. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope at noonday as in the night, meaning God does bad things to bad people again. But he saves the needy from the sword of their mouth and from the hand of the mighty. And so the poor have hope, and injustice shuts her mouth. Behold, blessed is the one whom God reproves, therefore despise not the discipline of the Almighty. Now this is back to his advice to Job. Look, Job, you know, God blesses those whom he reproves, and then they repent. So you just need to repent. So don't despise God's discipline. Don't think of all this bad stuff as bad. Think of it as God's trying to get your attention to the bad stuff you're doing. You need to take the spanking to heart and change your ways. For he wounds, but he binds up. He shatters, but his hands heal. He will deliver you from six troubles. In seven, no evil shall touch you. In famine, he will redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. So now he's trying to be on the positive side for Job. Job, look, if you'll just repent, God will bring all the good stuff back to you, and you'll be protected again. You shall be hidden from the lash of the tongue and shall not fear destruction when it comes. At destruction and famine you shall laugh and shall not fear the beasts of the earth. For you shall be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with you. You shall know that your tent is at peace, and you shall inspect your fold and miss nothing. You shall know also that your offspring shall be many and your descendants as grass of the earth. So he is trying to say, look, it'll all be good again. You'll get past this, which is good advice as long as you're not accusing the person of having done something sinful when they hadn't done it. And yes, we need to acknowledge this. God does sometimes use bad stuff to discipline people, to get their attention. We see that illustrated in the scripture. But that is not the assumption we need to make. There needs to be some sort of connection that is clear. In the book of James, when the elders go to a person's house that's sick, they anoint them with oil, they pray for them, and it says there, if they have done anything, it shall be forgiven them. There is an assumption made there that if the sickness is somehow related to something sinful they've been doing, the elders coming will lead them through the process of repenting of that, and then the man can move on. But that is not the problem here in the book of Job. We know that. The testimony we've already gotten is that Job has done nothing wrong in anything he's said and done. This is all an attack upon him by Satan. And so this false assumption that is being followed through with by the Temanite here is just absolutely unacceptable. But let's finish up what he had to say. You shall come to your grave in a ripe old age, like a sheaf gathered up in its season. Behold, this we have searched out. It's true. Hear and know it is for your good. See, I'm telling you these things. It's hard to hear, I know, but it's true. If you want to get back into right relationship with God, if you want to have all the good things happen to you again, if you want to die a good old-aged man later, then you need to accept what I'm telling you and repent of what you're doing or what you've done. Because we know, Job, you've had to have done something bad, because bad things only happen to bad people. Chapter 6. And we'll only get through part of this because we've only got a little over 3 minutes left. Job answered and said, "Oh, that my vexation were weighed and all my calamity laid in the balances, for then it would be heavier than the sand of the sea, and therefore my words have been rash." So he says, I wished we could somehow visualize how bad I feel right now. I wish we could weigh it, because then we would find out that it is heavier than the weight of all the sand on the seashores of the world. Verse number 4. For the arrows of the Almighty are in me. My spirit drinks in their poison. The terrors of God are arrayed against me. Now, this is one of the places where Job is pushing the boundary. He does not sin in what he says, but he is making some assumptions here that he should have been more cautious about. He is assuming, because he's probably heard the same philosophy that has just been spouted by Eliphaz, that bad things happen to bad people, and God does those things. So he has had a whole bunch of bad things happen to him, so he's wondering, why is God doing this to me? Why is God shooting me with arrows of judgment so that I end up being scared in this situation and upset? Verse number 5, does the wild donkey bray when he has grass, or the ox low over his fodder? He's saying effectively what we mean when we have the proverb, if you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that got hit. So he's saying, the reason I am so upset and said the things that I said a while ago about wishing I'd never been born is because bad things are happening to me. I am overwhelmed by these things. Wild donkeys that are full of grass don't cry out in hunger, and oxen that are full of fodder don't ball wanting food. I am noisy because something bad is happening. Verse 6, can that which is tasteless be eaten without salt? Is there any taste in the juice of the mallow? These are all little similes or metaphors that make more sense in their culture. But effectively, where there's smoke, there's fire, right? That sort of thing. Something's going on here, he says. Verse 7, my appetite refuses to touch them. They are as food that is loathsome to me. This is one of the hints we have of his own physical situation. He apparently has lost his taste. Oh, that I might have my request and that God would fulfill my hope. Now, this now starts being where we hear what he wants. He wants God to explain it to him. And don't we all want that sort of thing when we're going through tough times? Well, have a great weekend, and I'll see you back here next week as we take up again the book of Job.